I'd like to direct your attention this morning to the first part of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we could read again the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We have a huge problem in the churches in Scotland today. Sadly, too many Christians cannot be differentiated from the world. Christians are so like non-Christians. It's hard to tell who is a Christian. The Lord Jesus said to us, you cannot become a Christian, you can't become one of my disciples unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Well, where are the Scottish Christians who are denying themselves? Who is denying himself? Where do you see self-denial? Where do you see Christians picking up their cross? Whatever cross the Lord gives us to bear, are we joyfully picking up our cross? And where do you see Christians following Christ to Calvary? Lives of self-denial. As you look round, and sadly, as you look into your own heart too, are we not all so worldly, so compromising, so taken up with ease and with pleasure? And yet the scripture makes plain that Christians are to be like lights shining in the darkness. Light and darkness are opposites. So the Christian should be the opposite of the person who's not converted. How can it be that the standards of Christianity have fallen so low in our country today? Why are professing Christians so like the world? Well, with some, they profess to be Christians, but they're not really Christians. I fear that there are too many like that in all the churches in Scotland today. They're members of the church, but they were never born again. They were never saved. And then, alas, with others, they are truly converted, but yet backslidden. They've become worldly and lazy. They have, as Peter puts it, forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. And so they go back wallowing in their own old sins again. They're like the Israelites who came out of the land of Egypt, delivered from slavery, making their way through the wilderness, but looking behind them, craving after the flesh pots of Egypt. Well, here we find this morning a very challenging text. It's challenging to the professing Christians in Scotland, but it's challenging to you and me too. And we have to take it to heart. If then ye be risen with Christ, show that you have risen with Christ. Be what you are. Be different from those who have not risen. Has this change taken place? Well, let it show. Remember what has happened. Be what you profess to be. Well, in looking then at these verses this morning, I would like us first to think about the huge change that has taken place when somebody becomes a real Christian. Now, of course, there are different views of what it is to become a Christian and how you become a Christian. Some grow up in Christian homes and they just accept the way of life and the profession that their parents make. And so they reach a certain age and they take communion. And they think that's the right way. They see other young people professing faith and taking communion. So they do the same. They haven't experienced conversion. They don't have a personal relationship with Christ, but they believe in God and they're following their parents and they're just walking in the same path. There's quite a lot like that. On the other hand, there's some and there has been a change in their lives. They say a prayer, they ask Christ to come into their hearts, and then they think, well, that's it. They feel a need to be converted, and so they make a decision. They say a prayer. They believe that they're now Christians. It's all very superficial. It's all on the surface. There's no depth to it. There's no reality to the change. It's just a very superficial thing. But the Bible tells us that to become a real Christian is a huge change. So huge that it calls it the new birth. It was an enormous thing when we were born the first time. We came into existence in this world. That was a big, big thing. And so, similarly, we mustn't play down the change. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You're a good living person. You're a minister in the church. But you need this radical transformation, this great change. If any man be in Christ, says Paul, he is a new creature. To be a Christian is to be in Christ. And to come to be in Christ is to be a new creation, a new creature. The first creation, God's mighty work creating out of nothing. And now the new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, a few things have become new. No. That's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says is, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, notice how it's put here. If ye then be risen with Christ. Risen. What does that mean? Resurrected. That's what it is. Resurrected from the dead. You were dead and now you're resurrected. Just think of the Eastern Necropolis. That huge cemetery. You go over there and you see, well, there's thousands and thousands of people buried there. They're dead. And then you go to Argyle Street or Sauchie Hall Street on a Saturday afternoon and there's crowds and crowds of people. They're alive. What a difference there is between the cemetery and the busy shopping centre. Dead and alive. If ye then be risen with Christ. Think of Lazarus. Lazarus was sick and died and was buried. And then Jesus came along and Jesus said, take away the stone from the grave. And Martha said, Lord, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. Take away the stone. And they take away the stone and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out of the grave, resurrected, struggling with the grave clothes, but no stink. He's risen. He's alive. He's no longer a dead body rotting in a grave. He's a living person. If you then be resurrected with Christ, notice what a huge change that is. At one time you were dead. Dead to God. Dead to spiritual things. Dead to the Christian life. But now you're alive. Some people, some unconverted people, their lives are wild lives of drink and drugs, and sexual immorality and criminal behavior. But other unconverted people are quite good-living people, very respectable. They're honest, they're kind, they're well thought of, they're popular, but they're dead. Just like Nicodemus, a minister in the church, but he was dead. Just like the Pharisees in the time of Jesus, they crucified Christ because they had no need for him. They thought they were good enough. They were quite pleased with their own lives and the way they were living. And they thought they could get to heaven with their own good works. So you don't have to be a wild person to be unconverted and dead in trespasses and sins. On Friday, I was taking part in the open air work in Partick. And an old lady came up to speak to me. Very pleasant lady, very friendly. And she talked away and she told me how she had grown up here in Glasgow and how she had got married, how she used to go to the tent hall when she was young, and then she got married to a Roman Catholic and didn't go to church, but oh, she was assuring me every day she prayed to God every day and she read her Bible and she talked to God as her friend, and there was much that was attractive in her life, and yet she didn't seem to know anything of a personal saving relationship with Christ. There was no consciousness of sin or of redemption or of the cross. Yes, she would talk about God as her chum to whom she would talk each day, but it was just a delusion. A nice person, a highly thought of person, no doubt, but not troubled by inner sin, never having come to life spiritually, not knowing what it was to be awakened, never having been resurrected. She was what she had always been. She didn't know the new life in Christ. And she had no love for the crucified one. A huge change. That's what's involved in becoming a Christian. Risen with Christ. But then, secondly, notice how the new life is described here. in verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now that's a bit surprising. He's just said you are resurrected, and now he says you are dead. And he's talking about the same people. How can you be dead? Well, you see, you're dead in one sense and alive in another. At one time you were dead in trespasses and sins, and now you are resurrected. But when you were dead in trespasses and sins, you were alive in trespasses and sins. And you were alive to sin and to Satan and to the world. And now you've died to these things. In your unconverted state, you were dead to God and to spiritual things, but now you are resurrected to God. So God is alive to you, and Christ is alive to you, and the Bible is a living book to you and speaks to you. But you are dead. Yes, you've been resurrected, but you're dead to the old life and dead to the old master that used to rule over you. You're dead to the world, the flesh, and the devil. They no longer have dominion over you. You are dead. That's what it is to be a Christian. Dead to the world. Dead to the world's way of life. Dead to sin. Dead to Satan as your master. The people around you, they're all excited about worldly pleasure. But you're dead to these things. When you become a Christian, you don't have to separate yourself from your old unconverted friends. Why not? Because they see a change in you and they think you're dead. You're no longer excited about the things they're excited about. You no longer wish to join in the same conversations, the same pleasures and pastimes, the same views and values. You've changed. So to worldly people, you're dead. And so they leave you behind and they go their own way. That's what we have in verse 3. As a Christian, ye are dead. Ye are dead. And then your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead and yet you've got a life. But your life is in heaven. Your life is in Christ. Christ is your life. Christ is the beginning of your life and the end of your life. He's the author and he's the finisher. To you to live is Christ, to die is gain. Christ gives your life. Christ strengthens your life. Christ sustains your life. You can't imagine life without Christ. That's a Christian. Christ is vital. Christ is the breath you breathe. Christ is the heart within you. Christ is your life. He's the secret of your existence. Is that true? Is Christ the key to your life? And without Christ, you're dead. Christ, who is your life, so that you're now citizens of heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven, from whence also you await the Saviour. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christ is your life. Relating to Christ, drawing from Christ, Christ is the engine of your life, the vitality of your life, the strength of your life. Christ is the one who enables you to will and to do the good pleasure of God. So then, the change. You're dead, dead to the old life. You're alive, Christ is your life. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, in the third place, I want us to look at the application, the practical application of all this. If ye then be risen with Christ, what's the application? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If it's true that you are resurrected, if this change has taken place in your life, then seek the things, value the things which are above. These are the vital things. The heavenly things are the things that really matter. And so put effort and energy like living people. Don't be like dead people when the Christian life is set before you, but be like a living person. Walking the pilgrimage, running the race, fighting the fight. If you are resurrected, seek those things that are above. Strive after these things. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Yes, and strive to keep on going along the narrow road. And strive to get to heaven. Strive to live for God, longing and working for heavenly things. How do you seek those things that are above? You seek them in prayer. As Christians, prayer should be so important. Many people, like that woman I was talking to last Friday, she says a prayer every day, and she thinks that's wonderful. She prays every day to God, and she thinks that's great. But as Christians, prayer is not just something you do once a day when you go to bed at night. Prayer is a way of life. Prayer is like breathing. You can't live without prayer. As you go about your life, you're sending up these prayers constantly. Walking along the road, you're sending up your prayers. Working in your workplace, you're praying. You're relating to God constantly. Prayer is a way of life. It's like breathing. So you don't just say your prayers. Oh, you say your prayers, yes. But you pray and pray and pray. And by praying, you seek those things that are above. And then you read your Bible. And you don't just read a chapter to feel, well, that's it, it's done. You read it. And then you read another chapter. And then you go back and you meditate over the chapter you've read. And then you maybe go away and you come back to God's word again another time through the day. God's word is not just something to be done like the Muslim say in his prayers. It's God's word is God speaking to you. So you pray to God and then you turn to the Bible and God speaks to you through the Bible. And you think about it through the day, and from time to time, God brings the Bible to you before your mind. And you're lying in bed at night, and a verse of the Bible comes to you, and God is speaking to you through the Bible. And so that private reading of God's word is so important. And then family reading of God's word, and of course church too. You seek the fellowship of the saints, because as somebody who's resurrected, You like to go around with living people. It's a very strange person who likes to live in a cemetery amongst the corpses of the dead. You delight in people who are alive. You love the fellowship of God's people. You like to talk to them and not just talk about ordinary things, but to talk about God, your Father, Christ, your Savior, the Holy Spirit, your friend. the law of God and the gospel of God and the promises of God and the hope of the Christian, all these things are part of your life. Fellowship, prayer, reading and hearing God's word, worshiping, yes, in private, in the family, but also public worship. It's so important whether two or three are gathered together in his name. He's there. He's promised to bless the gathering of the saints together. A huge change has taken place. The priorities now are different. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as a Christian, that's the way it is. You are seeking first every day. First in priority. Seeking the power to live for God. Seeking to be heavenly in your disposition. Being different from worldly people. Not wasting your time in unprofitable worldly activity. If you be risen with Christ, if you're resurrected, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Seek the heavenly things. So that's the first thing by way of application. Seek those things that are above. And then second point by way of application is, set your affection, verse 2, on things above, not on things on the earth. Your affection, your love, your delight, your enjoyment. Set your affection. Value most. Love God. You know, one word sums up the whole Bible, and it's the word love. The law of God is love. Love God and love your neighbor. And the gospel is God's love for us. And we love God because he first loved us. And so love is so important. Excited love. Enjoying love. Delighting in love. Love God. Set your affection on godly things. Be concerned to please him, keeping his commandments. You know, when you love your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, boyfriend, you'll want to please them, to do things for them. And so it is here. That's what's said before us. Set your affection on God, and then it'll show. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep them. Show. Love God. Please him. Delight in him. Desire his presence. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. Love the cross. Love his sufferings. Value what he has done for you on the cross of Calvary. Think of what an amazing Savior you have. God's Son came into this world and suffered a miserable death on the cross to save us, so that we would be his lovers. And are we his lovers? Are we his bride? Delight in Christ. There should be such a difference between the unconverted and the converted. One resurrected, the other dead. One in love with Christ, and the other crucifying Christ, and by rejecting the gospel, going on crucifying Christ. Set your affection on the things that are above, glorifying God and enjoying God. And enjoying glorifying God. Enjoying glorifying God. Because your affection is set upon God.
So,
the words of application: seek those things that are above. Set your affection on those things that are above. And then a third application: mortify your members which are upon the earth. Verse 5. Mortify your members. Strange that he says your members. But then it's with these members of our body, these parts of our body that we sin. Mortify your members, and by mortifying your members, of course, the idea is that you mortify sin. You put, to mortify is to put to death, to crush it down, to destroy it. Sadly, with so many, they go on in sin, just as they were doing in the past. And if they're going on in sin, have they ever died to sin? Have they ever been resurrected from the old life of being dead in sin? But then maybe your question is, well, if we have died to sin, surely that's the end of sin. So how can you mortify sin if you're dead to sin? But although sin as your master is dead, yet the roots of sin remain. A huge change, a radical break with the past has taken place. But there's still something of old Adam still there. There is the remaining corruption. The Christian is like a garden, and the ground has been turned over, and there's not a weed in sight. But after a few days, little green shoots begin to show. And so it is when a person is converted. Before long, the weeds begin to appear. And so, as Christians, our whole life is spent in weeding the garden, getting rid of these sinful lusts, desires that are still there, crucifying the flesh, going on crucifying the flesh. Paul talks about this in Romans 7. The good, he says, that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I find inside me, in my members, that when I would do good, evil is present. The good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I hate, that's what I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. So the Christian is somebody who's struggling. And in a sense, that struggle shows that there's life. Because the unconverted is dead. Dead in sin. The unconverted's not bothered by sinful thoughts, proud thoughts, or lustful thoughts, or envious thoughts, or angry thoughts. The unconverted doesn't bother about thoughts, they just bother about words and deeds. But the Christian sees that sin is there in the heart. And the Christian, being risen with Christ, hates that sin. He knows where it comes from. It belongs to sin and Satan. Belongs to the devil, so he wants to crucify it. So if there's a struggle going on inside, praise God for that. And be sure you stand on the side of God against the devil. Take the side of the Spirit. The Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit. These things are contrary one to another. The Spirit of God, who's come to reside in us, lusts against and hates the flesh. And you and I should join on the side of the Spirit, hating the flesh and fighting against the flesh. A change has taken place. Sin is still there, but we're not slaves to sin. We've died. And our slave master is dead. But there's still temptations in that direction. And so we keep on fighting. By grace we fight. And so he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, greed, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And you used to walk in that way in the past, but now you put off these. You've changed, you've resurrected, you've risen with Christ, you set your affections on the things that are above. So put off and keep on putting off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man has been put off. And don't therefore live a life like the old man. You have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so be new men, be new women in Christ Jesus. Don't be walking in these old paths. Remember who you are. Think of the change that has taken place. If you then be risen with Christ, are you risen with Christ? If not, it's time you did. You need to rise. You need to be converted. Turn, cry to the Lord to have mercy upon you, to raise you from the dead. But if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Be what you are. Be a resurrected new man, new woman in Christ Jesus. Set your affections on those things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ is your life. He's in heaven. Be heavenly minded. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Having this hope in you, purify yourself, even as Christ is pure. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for the exhortations of Scripture. We have to confess, Lord, that so often we fail to be what we should be. Indeed, what we are by the working of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, help us, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before, pressing on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we would apprehend that for which also we were apprehended of Christ Jesus, grasping hold of these heavenly things. Oh, help us to be dead to the world and to be alive to God. Help us to be resurrected and our life to be hid with Christ and God. Help us to remember the change that has taken place, and so to set our affections more and more upon the things that are above, and to put to death the sinful things of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing praise.